So we'll talk a little bit about Pesach.
Okay.
So there's interesting in Jewish literature, in the Talmud, in the books of the rabbis, they have there are seven special liquids like in fluids, like we'll see drinking or not.
Right.
And in the commentators, they connect the seven special liquids to the seven different holidays we have. So let's go through them and let me elaborate. So the initials is Yad, which means head, so Yud. So the letter Yud stands for Yayin. So one liquid is wine.
Yes.
Dalet stands for Dvash, honey. So
honey.
So there's wine, there's honey, and then there's shemen oil. Oil is three. Milk is four, chalav. Five is dew, D-E-W, you know, the stuff that falls in the morning on the grass. And then dam, so that stands for
blood
is one, right? Blood is number six. And mem stands for water.
What's water?
Mem, that's the last one is water. Mem, that, you know, mayim. So the seven special liquids which have special status in Jewish law, not now, it has to do with ritual impurity, but during the times of the temple, there was significance in terms of becoming pure, you know, pure and impure, but the point being is these seven liquids have special significance that they're related to the seven Jewish holidays. So let's try to connect each of the liquids to the special holiday. And today we'll focus on the holiday that's relevant to Passover. But we have six more holidays we could discuss in the future. So let's go back. So let's see if we can figure it out. So, there's another holiday. It's called Purim. There's a mitzvah to drink, you know, and it's a mitzvah on Purim to drink wine, you know, it says you may mishta v'simcha. It's a joyous occasion, and they talk about so different reasons. That was since the sin came about that they went to Achashverosh's party, and therefore we drink. You know, well, actually, the Talmud says, like, the language they use is a person has to drink enough not to know the difference between blessed be Mordechai or cursed be Haman. So what does that mean exactly? So different explanations, but one explanation means is the Purim, so the two ways redemption could come about, either through a righteous person who gets the Jewish people to repent and they come back, or unfortunately sometimes you need a wicked person to make a decree, scare the people, they wake them up, and then we do. So unfortunately, as the Talmud says, Haman did more than the 48 male prophets and the seven female prophets. What it means is they tried to get the Jewish people to repent, it didn't work. But when Haman gave the decree to kill all Jews, it went, you know, sometimes you need something, a little knock on the head or a knock to wake you up. So therefore, we have a little drink. So since the redemption happened to Haman, we don't want to focus on that. So therefore, so to speak, we have a drink that we don't know, so we don't focus on it. It came through the negative way, through the flood. And there are other explanations, but we'll save that for Purim. But that's why, but wine is connected to the holiday of Purim. That's what they had at the Purim meal, etc. So we have a mitzvah to drink on Purim, so that's wine. The next one is honey. Which holiday represents honey?
Rosh Hashanah.
Correct. Rosh Hashanah, we're all in agreement on that. What holiday represents oil?
Hanukkah,
correct.
That makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. And then I hope it all makes sense. And what about the holiday represents milk? Or maybe put it as cheesecake. To make it exactly cheesecake, that's milk, yeah. And then the next holiday is I'll come back to that one since it's going to be Passover. I'll skip for a minute. And what's
the do is Passover?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
I'll explain why, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the next one is blood. So blood's a little tricky one. Because what blood is Yom Kippur? Why is it Yom Kippur? Because we have it says in the Talmud that when one fasts on any day, when one fasts on Yom Kippur, so to speak, or when you fast, you lose some weight, so to speak, like and it's like bringing, it's like an atonement, like bringing a sacrifice on the temple. So why, you know, so that's why it's blood. It's an atonement because we sprinkled the blood on the. On the altar, that was an atonement. So when we fast, it's like, you know, it's like giving. When we fast, we lose a couple of calories, and it's like we're donating those calories to God, so to speak. Yeah. And then the last one is
water.
Water. Which holiday is that? That's the holiday of Sukkot, because that's the day that it, you know, we're judged. You know, they bought the water libations. Yeah, in terms of that.
So what?
On Sukkot, it's a holiday that of water.
Why?
Well, because that's what, instead of bringing wine libations, they brought water. But why? I'll just tell you quickly why. Because we just celebrated or observed Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, yes, which were very serious, were judged for life and death. So we all know, you see these people, let's say after is a natural disaster or even an unnatural disaster, and they lost everything, their house, their cars, but we're so happy just to be alive. Here they have a picture with the family. We have nothing, but we're the happiest people because we have the ultimate, we have life. So too, it comes to show that after we go through a rush, we focus on the important things of life. We're not so worried about the luxuries, the extras. We go back to our roots, which water represents, you know, water and bread.
Yes.
Right. Right. So we have the seven holidays are represented by these seven special liquids. As I said, I'll focus on Passover for a minute. So what's the connection between dew and Passover? So just to give you some background, that during half the season, we pray for rain. Because it's the rainy season, generally for Israel.
Yeah.
So we pray for rain. And then in the spring and summer season, we don't pray it doesn't rain, but we don't ask for rain because we don't want it to ruin everything. So there's a time. So we start, when do we start praying for rain? At the end of the holiday of Sukkot. Obviously, Sukkot, we want to eat outside in our Sukkot, so we don't want it to rain. But on the end of Sukkot, we pray, we give people 2 weeks to get home, and then we start praying for rain. So on Sukkot,
every year we seem to pray too early.
Yeah, or right. So Sukkot, we pray for rain. Not that we pray for rain, and then we're praying for rain in Israel anyway, but we get it here. And then so Pesach, we stop praying for rain, and what do? We have, it's called Tfilas Tal. We make the prayer for dew. Instead of rain, because the dew comes every morning. So what's the difference between the rain and the dew? Well, there's a lot of differences, but one of the major differences is, like rain, rain is a public event. What I mean to say is that when it's raining, you know, everyone knows about it, you know, unless you're locked up in your room and you have no windows, but basically when it's raining, everyone knows what's happening. And in fact, as I said, the Talmud says it's a blessing when we ask for rain. You know, it's a blessing if it. Well, they say Friday night at night because no one's traveling. It's Shabbos, you're home and that. But I'll add any time. As I said, you know, any time it rains in the middle of the night, it's a blessing. And not that it's not a blessing during the day. Now it's not so much of a difference. Like we could, back in the day when they traveled by camel, horse. So if it was all muddy, it was very difficult. Today, you know, modern technology, unless it's a real storm, a little rain's not going to really stop us from our everyday functions. But rain is, you know, rain is something that everyone sees. It's a public event, and we all know. And we check the weather. You know, we have our umbrellas, our raincoats, whatever it may be. Dew is the opposite. Like, basically, no one even notices. Like, you don't even know. Like, it's only if you go out. Like you're wondering, you wake up in the morning, you go out, wow, the grass is all wet. Or maybe it's on your car, maybe it's something like, but dew comes and goes. No one's, we don't see it coming down. Like, I think somebody could be outside watching, and what, how did the ground get wet? We must have missed it. So dew is much more, you know, it's much more indirect. It's much more, you know, secretive, so to speak. So there are two ways that God runs the world. God runs the world, what we call supernatural, like miracles, and other times, what we call nature. In other words, the everyday things. In other words, as Nachmanides, one of the great medieval rabbis, said, "What's the difference to what we call supernatural, or what we call natural? Is things that happen all the time we call nature." Things that happen once in a while, we say, wow, what a miracle. I'll give you for an instance. Let's say the rabbis tell us it's a greater miracle that a child is born than if someone resurrects the dead. Because resurrecting the dead, at least the body's there, you're bringing it back. But a baby to come out from nothing, from a drop in the woman and the whole baby, that's wow. It's miraculous. Yet, if you were an editor of the paper and you put on the headlines, baby born today, you'd probably get fired. But you wouldn't sell any papers. But if you put, wow, resurrection of the dead, you get the bestseller. See? Why? Because things that baby born, we yawn, and because we take it for granted. Really, childbirth is really a danger. Even today, back in the day, it was many women died in childbirth. Today, it's still... In Jewish law, we still consider it a danger, but now with modern technology, we generally assume everything's going to go well. But the point being is, things that happen all the time doesn't make it any less miraculous. The fact that a child is born is even more miraculous, but most people don't like, oh, they yawn, oh, wow, okay, tell me something, you know, special. Or, you know, there's nothing more special than that, but things that happen once in a while, that's what we get excited about. Things that happen all the time, we take for granted. In fact, that's what he points out. When the Jews were in the desert traveling for 40 years, how did they eat? There was no Fortinos, no Shalom Village, no Hamilton Kosher. What did they do? They got manna from heaven. The food fell from heaven. They got the food, the water, everything they were taking care of. Okay. So, they're entering the land of Israel. So Joshua told them, you know what? You know what we're going to eat now? We're going to go into the land. We're going to start planting trees. And you know what? This tree is going to grow 50 feet high. Fruits are going to grow out of the tree. Wheat. What? Wow, are you kidding me? I could put a little seed in the ground and I'll do a 50-foot tree. You mean food's coming out of the ground? So the answer is, of course, this is the opposite for us. If you told me man fell from heaven, wow, I'm running out to get it. But... So it's all about perspective. In other words, whether something is miraculous or not, nothing to do with how often it... I mean, from our human perspective, that's just the way we view it. But it tells you nothing about the essence of the miracle. So therefore, things that happen all the time, we call nature. But there's no difference. And as there was a great rabbi, in the Talmud, as a story, his daughter came to him Friday afternoon before Shabbos. And said, "Daddy, I made a mistake. I put vinegar into the candle wick instead of oil." So the rabbi said, Rabbi Hanina ben Trajan, I believe it was, "Don't worry, my daughter. He who commands oil to burn will also command vinegar to burn. And burn it did. They used that fire for Havdalah. It lasted the whole Shabbos and that's how good the fire was, and they used it for the post-Shabbat." So the point being is, obviously to us, to him, everything's a miracle. So obviously you have to live on, practically we don't live on that level, so we can't expect, so I can't put vinegar in the oil and expect it to light. You know, he could, because he lived, to him, he was on the level where he saw, we're not on that level, we do know, we live in what's the natural world, and we have to. We're not supposed to rely on miracles. We have to do everything we can based on the science, the data, and all of that. But we all know God can do miracles at any time, like he did on Hanukkah with the oil. So the point being is, there's a there's a fundamental difference between, like, you know, what we call miracles, meaning like public miracles, and then there's the hidden miracle, like nature. So, and in fact, we know, what is Passover? Passover is the classic example of the public miracle. All these, starting from the Exodus from Egypt, before the Exodus from Egypt, God did the 10 plagues. He turned the Nile into water, frogs, all these supernatural things. If that wasn't enough, when he traveled out, he split the Red Sea, and they say it split into 12 different pathways for each tribe, and you know, and throughout the Midbar, he had miracles. So we see the Exodus from Egypt was full of supernatural miracles. So the concern, you know, so the concern is in life, when you're always involved in miracles, and then you don't get one, you're as good as your last at bat. Okay, what are you doing for me? You know, you start taking things for granted. So therefore, so what do we do? The first night of Passover, we're sitting there at the Seder, we're talking about all the miracles. We go over the whole story, the Exodus from Egypt, miracle of miracle throughout, that's what it's all about. And that's okay, we recognize God does a miracle, but what do? The next day, the first day of Yontif, what do we do in Musaf on the first day of Pesach? We no longer pray for rain. We start praying for the dew, Tfilas Tau. And what does dew represent? Dew represents, it's the hidden miracles. It's a miracle every day that dew comes down, and no one even notices it. So therefore, the rabbis were concerned after going through the Seder, reading miracle after miracle after miracle, you might have lost sense of, well, you know, that God's, tomorrow I'm going to wake up and expect another miracle. So we shall know that as great as the Exodus from Egypt, but those are exceptions. God doesn't like. God wants us to live in a regular world without miracles. He'll do miracles when he has to, but he wants us, our job is to live within nature. And therefore, right after we experienced all the miracles, we have to come back to reality, and that's why tefillah is due. Due is related to Passover, because everyone needs a balance in life, like the commentators explain. It says in the Talmud that someone who says, Ashrei Yoshvei Vesecha, the prayer we say in davening, it says, one who says it every day warrants reward in the world to come. Okay, very nice. And then there's another saying in the Talmud. One who says Hallel every day is like a blasphemer. It's like cursing God. Hallel, why? Hallel isn't we do it in our davening on Yontif. Like what? And to strengthen the question, they both come from the book of Tehillim. They both come from the book of Psalms. So Ashrei comes from Psalms, Tehillim does. And Hallel does. So how could you have two prayers from the same book, and you're saying if I do one, I'm the greatest, and if I do the other one, I'm terrible. Like, what's going on? How do we reconcile this apparent contradiction? So, one of the great rabbis from pointed out, Rav Meir Simcha Midvinsk, back, not that long ago, he points out, I'll tell you the difference. The difference is, when does one say the prayer of Hallel? After a miracle, we say Hallel on all our, we say Hallel on the holidays. Why? Because the holiday, we're remembering all the miracles that happened. Hanukkah, we're saying Hallel every day, the miracle of the oil. Hallel is usually associated with supernatural miracles. And that's why we say, in fact, that explains why on Purim we don't say Hallel. So the Gemara wants to know, if we say Hallel on Hanukkah, why don't we say Hallel on Purim? Like Purim had a tremendous miracles. So one answer that the Gemara gives is, we do say Hallel, but it's a different type of Hallel. It's called Megillas Esther. We read the book of Esther, and we read about the miracle of Purim. So there's a discussion in the commentaries. Let's say you live in a town where there is no scroll of Esther. So I'm not going to hear it. So should I then daven Hallel? The Gemara says, really I should say Hallel, but Megillas Esther is better. So the question is, let's say I have no Megillas Esther. Do I say Hallel or not? So one opinion says, yeah, logically, but that's not the opinion we follow. So what's the logic for? Why shouldn't you say Hallel? The answer is because it's two different Hallels. The Hallel we say, the regular Hallel is on supernatural miracles. Purim, the whole, all the miracles were hidden. Esther from Astia, that it was, look, if you read the book of Esther, it's all one coincidence. It's God pulling the strings behind the scenes, but it's not supernatural miracles. It's working through nature. So it's not appropriate when we're thanking God through nature. Now's not the time to sing Hallel. Hallel's for supernatural. So that's why we don't say it on Purim. And that's what's happening here. We just came. So by when I say Hallel, I'm saying it on a supernatural miracle. Ashrei, if you look at the next time you have a sitter in front of you, Ashrei is in the form of Aleph, Beis, Gimel, like ABC. It goes, it's back in the ABCs of life. That, in other words, Ashrei is, you're thanking God on the air. Thank God I woke up today. I have two eyes. I could see. This, I'm healthy. You know, the things that we take for granted all the time, the most important things, that's what Ashrei. So what the commentators are saying is, if you only see God in the miracles, if you only say how every day, you're missing the whole essence. It's great. It's true God does miracles. But the greatness is God is on the everyday things. The fact I wake up, I could talk, I could do everything, I could function like a human being. Yeah. That's the highest level. Yeah. And that's why when it comes to Pesach, which were involved all the supernatural miracles, the rabbis were concerned we might get already too... It's like, that's why there's a concept the night of Pesach, say you bring out all the nice china, and some have a custom to wear a kittel. You know, kittel is the thing you're buried in, like the white. Why? Because they say we don't want you to get too carried away. Remember, life is temporary. You know, we're not living forever. So it's, you know, type of balance. So same thing here. Right after we experienced the Haggadah, we spoke about all the miracles, the Exodus from Egypt, the splitting of the Red Sea. We're very overexcited, and we don't want to go too much to the extreme. So the next morning. Remember, tfilas tau. Remember, miracles are good, but that, we don't live off miracles. We live off every day. We live off the everyday miracles, the nature, and we specifically ask for the. We start praying for dew to remind us. Oh yeah, without the dew, we can't function. And those are things we don't even see. The hidden miracles, the ones that work in nature, that's the greatest proof of God. And that's you know, there's the ones as Mark Twain used to always say that the biggest proof of the Jewish people is that the Jewish nation's still around. There are all these tremendous Egypt, Greek, they're the tremendous world leaders. And where are they now? But this tiny Jewish nation is still around after all these years. And as it says in the Talmud, one rabbi was talking to another because they talk about in literature the 70 nations of the world are referred to the 70 wolves, and the Jewish nations referred to the sheep. So one rabbi said to other, wow, look how great is this sheep. The 70 wolves couldn't kill it. The 70 nations, so it is all the anti. And the other rabbi said, no, you got it all wrong. Not how great is the sheep. How great is the shepherd? It's the shepherd that maneuvered the sheep. No, the sheep couldn't survive on their own. If you didn't have a good shepherd, if we didn't have God watching over us, there wouldn't be a Jewish people, there wouldn't be a Jewish nation. So it's time to, you know, connect to our roots. No matter how great the miracles are, we can't get lost and expect miracles. We come back and immediately we have the prayer for dew, and that's the connection. The liquid of dew is the essence of the holiday of Passover. Don't get caught up. Of course, on the night of Passover you should, and we recognize and we thank God for all the supernatural miracles. We don't say, great God, do one for me today. No, we realize, great, we don't want the miracle. We want to be able to serve you through the laws of nature. That's what you put human beings in, and that's the essence of the holiday of Passover, and that's why we introduced the prayer of dew right in the beginning of Passover.
I wrote it down.
Yeah.